So what do you think? Is innovation just for the innovation lab? Is it just for products and services, for research and development, for people directly involved in creating new technology or consumer products? My answer would be no. Innovation is for everyone. It's for any project, any function, any employee, any sector. And if you agree with that, the big question is, how on earth can organizations become more innovative and create cultures where everyone is an innovator? Hi, I'm John Drummond.
And I'm Andrew Drummond.
In the last How on Earth podcast, we talked about what makes us human and what organizations can do to become more human. And this time we're asking, how on earth can organizations become more innovative? And to discuss this, I'm delighted that we're joined today by two innovation thought leaders who, in my view, are among the top innovation leaders globally, and they're from Northumbrian Water here in the UK. Can I ask you to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Angela McOsker. I'm Head of Innovation at Northumbrian Water.
I'm Nigel Watson. I'm CIO of Northumbrian Water Group. So everything to do with technology, cybersecurity, and things like that, I'm responsible for innovation in the group.
You're on the CBI Innovation Council. Can you give us an idea of the focus of the CBI's thinking around innovation?
Yeah, so I guess the CBI exists to influence government policy, right? So I mean, that tends to be quite a bit of what gets talked about around that table is what can the CBI do working with government to help the country to become more innovative? So how do we have this seeming productivity gap in the UK? How do you kind of close that? How do you use innovation to level up? How do you get situations where they refer to this as the big fish, little fish? So you get make it possible for smaller companies to work with big companies. How do we improve the rate of technology transfer? So our universities produce some incredible IP, but you know, we don't have a track record of taking very good advantage of it. So those are the kinds of things that gets discussed at the CBI Innovation Council.
Is innovation always about technology?
No, assuredly not. I think it's innovation can take many different forms. For me, it's just about applying something in a new way that adds value and solves a problem.
Is innovation only the remit of guys like you and R&D departments and so on, innovation labs?
Not in our organization, and I don't think it should be. So I know some companies have gone with this approach of setting up an innovation department. We ourselves have a small team, you know, 6-7 people, but it's there to facilitate innovation rather than to actually do it. You know, we provide mechanisms like competitions that people can bid for to get their idea funded, put money there that they can choose to invest on a monthly basis. So, you know, you need to tap into, this is back to humanity for me, John, really, which is how do you tap into the whole person? The people who rock up in your organization day in, day out, generally speaking, are incredibly talented, right? And they have talents that go way beyond the job description in many cases. And how do you harness that? How do you provide them with the mechanisms, the confidence, the skills to be able to sort of step forward and bring them their whole selves to work?
Is that more difficult in a remote world where, you know, over the last couple of years, we're working remotely now? And one of the big issues that keeps coming up is when you get new people joining an organization, but they don't meet people in person.
I suspect it is, yeah. I mean, I like the idea of flexible working, you know, and so I feel a little conflicted by saying it. But you sort of think back to a few years ago, you know, we brought 10 degree apprentices into the business. And just how do you behave? You know, how do you build relationships? We provided them with a mentor. We provided them with a buddy. We're able to throw our arms around and put a lot of support around them. How does that work when they're at home? I just don't know. I worry about that a little bit, actually, because I, like I said, I like the idea of flexible working, but you're bringing young people into the business. I feel like they need a bit more help than perhaps you might be able to give them remotely.
And I guess that's one of the key learnings from this is, well, there's a massive amount you can do remotely. There's also a phenomenal human need for connection. And that's as true, you know, when you look at the behaviors that are required of work, and that, sure, you can concentrate at home. Sure, you can have conversations remotely, but you can't really have collaboration and innovation in a full human way without human contact.
I think for the last year and, well, we're close to a year and a half now, we have managed to innovate and we have managed to collaborate, trading off of existing relationships largely. And so, yeah, the bit you're missing is, and that might run out in time, mightn't it? I suppose is it might start to taper off. It could atrophy. So I feel like there is a need for us to come back together in person and be physically present, you know, around other people. I'm obviously subject to it being safe, and it doesn't need to be 5 days a week.
If there's one thing I know Northumbrian for, it's your phenomenal innovation festival that you hold every year. And it's a brilliant way of bringing together so many different people from so many backgrounds across industries in order to innovate over the course of a week in a way that is also full of fun. Now, can you give us a little bit more about, tell us a bit about the Innovation Festival?
Yeah, so firstly, I guess, John, thank you for your really kind words, means a lot. So, and we are proud of the Innovation Festival, you know, proud, but also, you know, humble about what it is and how we have to continue to evolve it, change the perception of the industry, change the perception of the region, and enable more outside-in innovation. So, you know, bring in thinking from other sectors. So make something a bit that's a bit noisy.
It's interesting, isn't it, that I guess one of the potential obstacles of people actively investing in innovation in this way would be that maybe people don't want to join the gang. And yet each year you manage to attract huge numbers of people, often at very senior levels across organizations and across sectors, and they are willing to dedicate their time. What is the mindset that persuades people to go, you know what, I love this stuff, I'm willing to give up my very expensive time and invest it in this phenomenal festival?
We're working on really tough challenges that affect not only Northumbrian Water, but the whole of the water sector. So if we're successful in finding potential solutions, there is not only a UK market, but also a global market that you can go out after. You also will have fun, which is also a very nice thing, but you will also be enabling your workforce to gain new skills that they didn't have before. Last year, we ran 188 hours of training ahead of the festival in a time when nobody was really doing digital workshopping. So there is actually definitely something in it for you if you want to get involved. So I think that's why we're able to attract so many people.
That's brilliant. And it's deliberately called a festival because you do a whole lot of other stuff surrounding it. You have comedians and musicians and others. Why?
So I think, and again, tapping into the whole human being, you know, when someone walks through the gates or logs on, as it was last year, to the festival, you know, they might find themselves doing yoga in the morning. They might find themselves in a pop-up choir singing and then going into a sprint or a hack. Now, imagine, you know, the endorphins, imagine the way that your blood is running around your body. Imagine your state of mind. I mean, I think you enter into the sprint then much more ready to be creative.
So the whole point of the festival is to have a wide range of individuals in there that make you think differently, that make you have different thoughts. So definitely a very proven methodology for thinking differently and being more creative. So we work on problems that are actually cross-sectoral problems. So other businesses could get involved and the potential solution that pops out actually could include them. So it could be a digital solution. It could be something that improves customer experience. So we're looking at things that touch lots of other businesses. We also would give people an insight into using the design sprint methodology if they haven't tried that before within their own business. So it can actually provide training and opportunity for other businesses. And it's really fun. And what we found is that I think that ability to have fun, even though you're working really hard, seems to dislodge ideas and solutions that perhaps would never normally come out of people's minds. You also have a week to focus on something, which is something that you rarely have without competing things for your time. So having that golden time to really focus on a problem and have the right people in the room.
We go for diversity of expertise. So we're trying to solve a problem. We don't want 20 experts in the tent. We might want two or three, but we then want to mix them together with someone who does a similar job in another industry, someone who does gaming, maybe someone who's a health expert, someone who's a data scientist. I mean, bringing together those different types of expertise and creating an environment where they have what we refer to as soft collisions, we find that to be a great environment to generate fresh thinking.
Give us an example of a soft collision.
We have a gentleman called Andrew Turner, who is a process engineer. One of the things he discovered was, actually, you'll see this everywhere now, I mentioned it, but we have trailers on which we have coiled pipe. And because it's coiled, it has a lot of kinetic energy. And so when we take the pipe off, all kinds of things can happen. It's quite unpredictable. You'll cut that strap. And we've had examples in the past where the pipes, you know, hit somebody in the jaw, broken some teeth. One even flew across the street and nearly, you know, had an accident with a member of the public. So Andrew just observed this process and said, I think I can remove the kinetic energy just by applying a roller on the back of the trailer. But he's now got a trailer, which he basically just rolled the pipe off the back of the machine 8 times faster to take the pipe off the trailer. So you asked me at the top, is innovation always about technology? And I guess that's a great example of why I think the answer to that is no.
Another of your initiatives to emerge from the innovation sprints you run is something called the National Underground Asset Register, which I think is brilliant. Until now, effectively, we do not have an integrated map of all the underground assets that we need in order to function as a society, do we? I mean, gas, electricity, water, telecoms, the idea of a single integrated view of all of those underground assets. And this idea is designed to create that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's estimated that it costs UK PLC around £1 billion a year. And that's not even thinking about the potential death and injury to people who, you know, unfortunately strike somebody else's utility. So that was really where the idea was born from. And now I think we've got a fair amount of the northeast of England mapped, a small part of London. And now the government has taken on this initiative and is going to be rolling this out nationally. So it just goes to show what an idea popping out of a water company in the northeast of England can actually have and the impact on the rest of the country.
It's brilliant. I love it. I think this is an example of how any organization can pick up the idea of innovation and create stuff that touches all our lives. But it demands a specific kind of mindset and skill set. What is it about Northumbrian Water that brings that to life?
I think we're very open, and we very much recognize that we do not have all of the answers to the problems. And actually, the solutions lay within other sectors, and we're really keen to reach out and to learn from other sectors and to bring stuff in. We also don't want to keep IP. So we are very much, you know, embracing this spirit of open innovation, and we want other people to be successful on the back of coming up with solutions that also help ourselves. So I think that openness gives us a huge help, because then people want to come and collaborate with us.
So Andrew, long-time listener, first-time caller. So I've been making a note of all of the ingredients, and I've got, you know, we've got fun, we've got some dedicated time, multidisciplinary collaboration and multidisciplinary thinking, openness, and that's kind of encompasses a willingness to learn, and also not being possessive about IP. Intellectual property, and also there's an element of using the right tools as well. What, am I missing anything?
Yes, we are not. We're not frightened of failing. When you work in innovation, you have to be open that not everything is going to work and be cool with that. And certainly we're working really hard within the organization that projects fail, people don't. We know each year that we'll do things that we won't do again, because quite honestly, that not everything works. With innovation, it is a gamble, hopefully an educated gamble, but not everything will work.
I read a really interesting book in the last year called Humanocracy, which effectively says there are two ways of running an organization. One is a belief system that's based on the idea that humans are resources for an organization to manage. And the other says, let's cut them loose. People are naturally creative. Let's give them the headroom to make that happen. And I guess that's an underlying belief system that needs to be bought into by the top team in order for innovation cultures to flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that certainly the executive lead team at Northumbrian Water absolutely encourage the innovation work that we have and are walking the talk. And that's really important for innovation success in any organisation. If your leaders are not backing you up and supporting you, then you'll never succeed.
Returning to the recipe for innovation, my inclination is that the biggest barrier is likely to be around openness.
This is all about building relationships at the end of the day. And actually, when I was a part of an event, when we were actually in the old world, when we could actually see people, it was with people in the water sector, and we were trying to understand what are the barriers for people getting involved in innovation. And actually, trust was actually at the top of the list for people. I think the other thing that I've seen in the sprint activities is obviously at the start of a week, nobody really knows what's going to happen. They're a little bit reserved. They don't know what's going to happen. They're a bit nerve-wracking. But during that week, an incredible transformation occurs. And the bonds between that sprint group are so strong by the end. And people actually learn things about themselves that they never knew before. We often hear, I didn't know I was this creative. I didn't know I could do that. And even those that perhaps at the start of the week were a little bit reserved and didn't really want to share ideas are then coming forward. And for me, that's one of the most rewarding things that I see out of this whole thing is personal growth, because people are literally buzzing. And at the end of the week, you kind of think, oh, I don't want to go back to my normal world, because people have told us like that it's their favorite working week of their entire working life. You know, that's a pretty big accolade.
Thank you again, both of you, for all of those fascinating insights on innovation at Northumbrian Water and for your brilliant Innovation Festival, which I would encourage anyone to check out. For me, any organization can create and embrace a more innovative culture. And we've identified that there are three things that an organization can do. Open up. What I mean by that is opening up to great ideas from everywhere, breaking down the barriers of an organization so you're open to ideas from customers, from communities, across sectors. So open up. The second is power up by investing in learning, giving employees the time and creative platforms they need to innovate, and by recruiting innovators. And finally, joining up. So how do we connect ideas? How do we ensure we break down silos? So those three things: open up, power up, join up. Everyone's an innovator.
I'd like to thank both Angela McCosker and Nigel Watson of Northumbrian Water very much for their time. And thanks to you for listening. We're listening to join the conversation about how organizations can become more innovative and more human on a How on Earth LinkedIn group, and get your own free copies of the Innovation for Everyone and Human Organization Reports from the How on Earth website. I'm Andrew. Your host was John Drummond, and this has been the How on Earth podcast.
There are cats crying outside.
This has been a How on Earth podcast for Corporate Culture Group, helping individuals and organizations achieve positive, lasting change.